Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of The Sportsman. We are back with Mikey and Joseph and myself. No Cormac this week, but we'll be just fine, I think, without him. But he was fantastic last week. Again, if you haven't seen that, go back to last week's episode and check that out. Our guy is now fighting. He's the number one seed in the March Madness tournament, and we will be wishing him luck, and that's where we're going to head first. Today, let's talk Selection Sunday. Let's talk how everything's shaped out, who we like, we don't like. We just filled out brackets today that I think we're going to go live with and sort of follow with as the tournament moves on. But gentlemen, I'll start with this. Do you like your brackets? Do you feel confident in your brackets?
I think the brackets are just such a total crapshoot in general. And especially this year, I said in our group chat for Sportsman, I said, I just think there's so many big name teams that are like just okay this year. Like, yes, UConn, the number one seeds, of course, obviously have stood a little bit above the rest. I think UConn in particular, Houston in particular, and you know us, obviously we're showing all the love to North Carolina and Cormac, but to be fair, like North Carolina has had their moments where I'm like, I'm surprised they lost this game. Clemson comes to mind, NC State in the tournament comes to mind. Like, they've had games where I'm kind of like baffled by the way they came out. I just think that's the way this year's got Purdue. Like, Purdue lost to Ohio State. And
I have Purdue winning everything.
Okay. And that, and you know what, Joe? It is their
if
time.
If that Edie kid can wake up and play the way that he can play,
he's unstoppable.
They should be able to dominate everybody. And he makes free throws.
If they game plan correctly, he is the most unstoppable player in the tournament. He is. But the problem is Purdue is just such a bad tournament team. They're just historically, like, as of late, they are just a bad. Maybe this is the year. And I forget who I was speaking to yesterday. It may have been Dickie Gass, actually. But somebody was saying that they like Purdue to go very far this year. And I have a tough time with that only because they're just historically so bad in tournaments. Yeah. They've been so disappointing. The loss to FDU in round one last year. The year before that, they got knocked out. You know, I don't think they made it to the Elite Eight. I think they got knocked out before that. But, you know, that being said, in the Sportsman bracket, I do have them in the Final Four because I went very chalky. I'm just very chalky. So I don't know, Joe.
Who do you have winning?
Out of respect, I took North Carolina to win.
Oh, see, wow.
Out of respect.
I didn't have North Carolina in the Final Four.
Oh, no. See, now my
one. I hope I'm wrong, but my
two brackets, one I don't and one I do. So I'm only doing two brackets. The one I have them going all the way. The other one, I don't have them in the Final Four either.
I'm so against doing brackets like for money, because it's just like if you have a team lose early on, like, you know, and then you have them in the Final Four or something, like it's just like you're basically done at that point. Like
you need to
escape. Like the teams, like the Final Four teams, you can't suffer like an early exit. Yeah.
You got to get
the other thing is if you take big upsets,
you got to get to the
Sweet 16. If you take big upsets and then they don't happen, then it's such a crapshoot, man, because there's so much parity in this tournament. There's so many upsets. I was watching a thing this guy I follow on Instagram. He said he's going to take every single upset for the first round, and all he needs to do is hit like three or four of them, and he'll make all his money back, because some of them are such high payouts that it's like some of them are like
you're talking about just gambling.
It's kind of gambling.
Saying. It's not a terrible idea, because you do see somebody like Purdue lost to F. Like, I mean, Purdue was a number one seed last year, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, who do you have winning?
I went with UConn. I think they're gonna
UConn
go back to
repeat.
I got UConn going far in both my brackets. They're strong. I think they are the most well-rounded team of all the teams, to be honest. I think they are. I think they're
Houston
a good mix
looks really good.
Yeah,
too,
I just I think UConn could do more on the offensive end than Houston.
Yeah, did. Fair.
But they both play incredible defense. But I like
you're very bearish on that Houston offense. You're very bearish on them.
I am. But yeah. I have them going to the Final Four. I have them going to the Final Four.
Well, there you go. That's still good.
So
Final Four all in one seats, Mikey?
Yeah. Chalky. Now in my other bracket, like I said, I did two. I have an eight seed, I think, in the Final Four. I think I had Mississippi State, I think I have in my one bracket. I have them going far, all the way to the Final Four, I believe, in my other one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I do definitely have mix-ups in my other one. But this one, the Sportsman one, I have all the one seeds. And it is sad and kind of not fun, but you guys maybe have different ones and maybe people like that more. But
I got it in Final Four. Let me just pull it up to make sure I got it. My Final Four, I got Purdue, and I've got Houston going up against each other, and then on the other side I got Auburn and Baylor, and then I have Purdue taking out Auburn in the final.
What's your total score?
149.
All right, okay.
Yeah, I got North Carolina over Houston in my final. North Carolina over.
I'd love North Carolina to do it. By the way, we don't have any money on these brackets, so like if they get obliterated, I mean, I would take it with a grain of salt.
This is just in any way for fun to see how we can do.
This is not something I want you guys tailing.
Not in any way an endorsement of future betting of any kind. No. Please do not. And I don't want to hear it. Please don't.
After my football betting season, I would like to do well here. And I put a fair amount of thought into it.
So who do you have winning it all? Tech UConn over
UConn.
I've got UConn over Houston. Houston beats Creighton in the Final Four.
I have Creighton in my Elite Eight. I have Creighton in my Elite Eight. Yep.
All right.
Yep. I like Creighton. I think they'll beat Tennessee in the Sweet 16. I have Baylor, Joe, in the Sweet 16. I don't mind that. Actually, I have Baylor in the Elite Eight. I have Baylor in my Elite Eight as
Baylor
well.
Baylor is solid, man.
Losing to Carolina. I like Baylor all year. I bet them a lot. Another team, kind of a sleeper I have in the Elite Eight, BYU. They're my lowest seed in the Elite Eight.
BYU is not bad. They can shoot the three like crazy, man.
I got BYU going there. Yep. What's
I
the
said BYU was one of my favorite teams outside the top 10 last week, and y'all fucking scoffed at me.
Tick, I got them in the Elite Eight. Maybe subconsciously, that's why I was picking BYU, because something told me BYU, so that's probably what it was.
The Storm and Mormons.
Yeah, I love them.
Well, every year when you fill out a bracket, what's the famous matchup that always has that upset? It's always a 5 and a 12, right? Isn't that like the notorious matchup that a 12 always beats a 5? 5
and a 12, and this year they're saying that it could be the James Madison Dukes. Are they the Dukes or the James Madison?
Yeah, Dukes, yeah.
Against the Wisco Badgers. That's a lot
and
of people.
And Wisconsin just won a big game, so I think a lot of people – they just beat Purdue, and I think a lot of people are going to take Wisconsin.
Yeah,
James
Madison's only lost three games all year. They've been really good, and from what I understand, they're a senior heavy team. Like it's three out of the five starters are seniors. The other starter's a junior, and then a redshirt freshman. So there's a lot of experience. I mean, James Madison. I'm hearing a lot of good things about James Madison. I'm not going to lie, I haven't watched a ton of James Madison basketball. I bet them this year and it turned out well for me, but I haven't watched a lot of the basketball, but I got them going in the first round over Wisco. I do. And then I have them going to the Sweet 16. I have them beating Duke in the next round after that.
Wow.
I have them finally losing to Houston in the Sweet 16.
That's fun.
Joey D, give me your biggest round one upset that you have. Who's the biggest upset you've got?
Let me see here. Hold on. Oh, I got Florida losing to BCIS Colorado.
Oh, well, it would be UVA or Colorado State. Oh, no, you're right,
Joe. Boise,
isn't
it?
It's Boise. It's Boise.
Boise State.
Boise State or Colorado, right?
I have either of those teams.
I have that also, Joe.
And then I have either of those teams beating Marquette after that.
Wow, really?
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, I have Marquette taking out Western Kentucky, And then I have Boise or Colorado taking out Marquette. So that's a big one for me.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know. It's going to be fun. We're all going to be watching the games together at the Breezy Lounge, Five Iron Herald Square.
Sure.
And it's going to be fun, man. It's going to be just some degeneracy going
on. I'm looking at my bracket now. I have 3 12 seeds winning in the first round.
Whoa!
Three. I have James Madison. I have McNeese over Gonzaga. and I have Grand Canyon over St. Mary's. Grand Canyon,
they won last year.
Grand Canyon, dog. Listen, just saying. Grand Canyon.
They were shooting the three like crazy.
I have them going. I got Grand Canyon all the way in the Sweet 16. Then I got them
beat.
I got them beat. You know why? Because I think Bama beats Charleston. Grand Canyon beats Mary's. Bama plays no defense. And against Grand Canyon, that could be a problem. That's why I took Grand Canyon over Bama. Bama's defense. Now, Bama could score. They could fucking score 100 points. But they'll give up 100 points just as easy. They play no defense whatsoever. None.
I have Texas losing in the first round.
Do you? To UVA or Colorado State?
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got them losing in the round of 32 to Tennessee. I got them past first.
But... And then I got New Mexico beating Clemson.
I have that also, Joe.
New Mexico's a great. I've been taking them all year. They're a great team. Yeah, the Lobos.
The Lobos.
But then they're going to run into the Baylor Bears, and that's going to be a bloodbath.
Yeah, that'll be a problem. That'll be a problem.
Yeah. my biggest upset is St. Peter's beating Tennessee.
Come on.
Might be a mistake.
Hey, listen, those boys from Jersey could play, dog. Those Jersey teams, 16 seeds, they're dangerous. They're very dangerous.
I know they made a push, was it 2 years ago?
All the way to the Elite Eight,
it's going to run it back.
But you got to take some shots when you're filling out a bracket. You know some shots are going to happen. You got to risk it. You got to try.
Here's the reason why I don't take too many shots, because a lot of the times, like these upsets in the first round, they get obliterated the next game.
Yeah.
So it's very rare that like one of those like 16 seeds goes like 2-3 rounds deep.
Well, but that's why the St. Peter's run was nuts, because they got all the way to the Elite Eight and they lost.
They were taking out everybody.
They beat Purdue. I mean, they were out of control, that team. They were awesome. That was an awesome run. Epic run that year.
Any other shock? I mean, so you don't think CFC, College of Charleston, could beat that Alabama team? I'd like to see them.
I think anybody could beat that Bama team.
Alabama doesn't play defense.
Yeah.
But they don't play defense. They score
like crazy.
I'll give Bama the benefit of the doubt that if they score like 90 or something like that in round one, they'll probably win. But in the
Have
next
you taken
round,
any overs in Alabama games this year? It's been fun.
Taking overs. I take it over in Alabama game. And their overs are ridiculous. They're set at like in the 170s, which in college is nuts. 170. First halves, like 80-point first half total.
They just chuck up threes, man.
Yeah. Them and Florida were fun to bet overs on, because when Florida – Florida to me was – and we said this last week. I said Florida was a team that I thought could have made a legitimate tournament run. Once the big guy broke his ankle in the first couple minutes of the SEC championship game, to me, that was it. Like now I think they're finished. You know, they're a big rebounding team. He was a part of the reason for their success, like in a big way, I thought. So I think that kind of ended their run for me. But I really liked the Gators prior to that. It's a shame.
Mikey, you said before you really liked Duke a few weeks ago.
Do you still
like them, or are you off the Duke train?
I'm off Duke right now. I think going into the tournament, you know, it's like, it's tough to say like weeks in advance, like who you like, because it's kind of, what do they look like heading in? And Duke, I don't know, dog. I don't know. I'm not as like big on them as I was. But then again, like NC State, a team like that, who I think maybe NC State's the hottest team in the country. One of the hottest teams, not the hottest, UConn is, but and so is Houston. But NC State, to me, after winning the ACC tournament in the fashion that they did and the teams that they beat to beat there, including North Carolina, I mean, they look like a very, very tough team, NC State. So I'm curious to see, are they going to kind of like crap out? They got Texas Tech in the first round. That's a tough game for them. Are they going to just – now, I have them beating them and playing Kentucky in the next round.
Kentucky's a team to watch for too.
Kentucky's the biggest liability on the books right now to win the whole thing. Oh, everybody and their mother is betting Kentucky future. That's the biggest liability.
Kentucky will either they'll either bang you or they'll come through and just like, you know, another team is Iowa State just demolished Houston. Yeah. I mean, and Houston, defensively looked so good. They couldn't hold. Iowa State was on fire. So, you know, it'll be interesting. It'll be
Iowa
fun.
Iowa State's going to run all the way until they hit those boys from BYU, Tick.
And they're going to get derailed until they get stormed by some Mormons.
Yeah, sure.
I got Vermont beating Duke in the first round.
The Catamounts.
Whoa!
It's another shot. It's another shot in the dark.
Good. Yeah. Good. We'll see that. We'll see. Yo, let me tell you something. Vermont's good. Vermont's always a good team. So that's if ever like Duke is just, I could just so see Duke get knocked out in the first or second round this year. I just can.
As opposed to seeing them make a late run.
I don't know.
It seems like the last while, they really haven't made a push for a long time since Zion. And then when they lost to Michigan State, like they really haven't done, they haven't
last
been a
year.
Team that
didn't
succeeds.
They do well last year? I thought they went pretty far last year, didn't they? Or am I wrong?
But I'm saying they haven't been to a Final Four, and they're always one of the most highly touted teams every single year. They're so highly bet on and followed. I don't know.
Well, they played North Carolina in the Final Four, right? Like wasn't that two years ago when they played in the Final Four?
Might have been 2 years ago. I don't remember last year.
Yeah, it was sick. I remember.
Final Four? Was it the Elite Eight?
No, because North Carolina beat St. Peter's in the Elite Eight.
Hmm.
I'm pretty sure it was 2022. Yeah. Yep. 81-77 North Carolina. Yeah. I know, for the most part,
you've been right, Joe. For the most part.
Yes. All I'm saying is Duke is like, they're like a team that people like historically are all in on to like win the tournament and do. Yeah. And they're really like, for many years, they just kind of fall short. They don't live up to the expectation many years.
Sure. Sure. And, well, there's a lot of winners, schools who made it in there, didn't think they had a shot. They squeaked in. There's always losers. And there's one school, a dear friend of ours, Nicholas Stubbe, his Richmond Spiders were one of the first four teams out.
Yeah, I got a lot of friends too. I got some friends very pissed off that Seton Hall didn't make the tournament this year.
Sure, that's another one.
Oh, they're a New Jersey school, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't Frank the Tank a Seton Hall guy?
A lot of people around where I live are Seton Hall guys because it's in West Orange. They're a pretty solid team, though, no? They were the first team ever that did X amount of things during the regular season. I can't rattle off what they were, but they were the first team to ever do those things and miss the tournament. So people were like really, really pissed off that they didn't get the nod for the tournament, but that's the way it is. Marquette, I probably have going farther than I should. I don't think Marquette is going to, I don't know. To me, in the Big East tournament, they shouldn't even have beat Villanova. So to me, it was kind of like, I'm not sold on Marquette from watching them. But they're a 2 seed, and I think a lot of people have them going pretty far. But I'm not sold on them.
Yeah, I got them in the Elite Eight.
Yeah,
and it sounds.
I mean, I do too. But I'm not sold on them. I'm just not.
All right, guys. Well, before we move on to some of the football conversations, is there any last minute, things you want to say about the conference tournaments? Anyone in the tournament here, or should we just move on?
No, I thought the tournaments were good. I thought you had some moments that were crazy. The Akron game against Kent State
that
was insane.
Nuts. What was that kid doing?
I mean, that's a Chris Webber moment, man. That's just not knowing what's going on.
Did he think that they were losing
I mean, obviously he had to. And that's a shame. That's a shame because he probably would have won the game. Unless Akron hits some crazy shot.
By the way, that NC State game to go to overtime was insane, too.
Yeah.
The kid who just chucked up a prayer and a bank was open, man.
Yep. And listen, like I said, Marquette Villanova was nuts. Marquette hits a buzzer beater. They take it off the board. It goes to overtime. Villanova's hanging the whole overtime. And then all of a sudden at the end, Marquette pulls
away.
It was good. I thought the conference tournaments were, I mean, they're always good. I just hate betting them because in those type of games where you got teams that have seen each other already twice, usually for the most part on a neutral court, it's just so hard to handicap those games because it's just anything can happen in these tournaments, man. Like you'll see now in the big tournament, it's going to be fucking crazy, but this is the best. Like this next, 5 days is, without football, this is the best time of sports, really, without football. It's really fun.
Thursday's going to be awesome. Friday's going to be awesome.
Thursday and Friday are so great. They're just great.
It's just start to finish. It's just like, it's all just day. An overload. All it's day. An overload.
All day.
Yeah.
Incredible. Incredible.
I'm going to be flying on Thursday. I'm going to miss a lot of these games. I'm pretty bummed about it. But Friday.
What time do you get in Thursday, Tick?
All three of us will be locked in. I get in, I think, around like 2:30, 3.
That's not
so hey, we got Carbone at 6. I don't want any bail jobs.
We do.
Okay. I'm going to meet you guys there.
I'm going to meet you guys there.
I begged you to go last time. And I couldn't. No. Joe.
Oh, Joe.
And another friend and our friend Teddy went. Couldn't get a seat. But, you know, maybe he thought I was going to bail. So that could have been. real quick on that NC State team. They're spunky. I kind of like. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to win something.
Dude.
They've got spunk, dude. They're
the
fun
big,
team to
the
watch.
Big fella Burns.
Yeah.
That guy is a beast.
He's a horse, bro. He's like, that's like watching me run up and down the court. I mean, he is just a big dude, man. He's a tank.
When he gets into that low post, dude, he just backs up, man. Yeah,
that I think is one of the most fascinating teams entering the tournament. I want to see, is NC State going to carry the momentum from the ACC tournament, or did they, I don't like to say it, it's a little vulgar, but did they blow their load in the ACC tournament and now they're going to kind of like, they're going to run out of gas for the big tournament? If they don't and they can carry that momentum, they're going to be very tough to beat. Like, they could bully a Kentucky. If it's them in Kentucky in the round of 32 and they're playing the way they play, they could bully that team because Kentucky's a little soft.
Is to say blow your load, is that vulgar?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is?
It is a common phrase. I mean, I feel like it's a common phrase. Amongst the fellas.
Sure.
It's still vulgar.
In the locker room.
Amongst the men of sports.
Yeah, in the locker room. It's locker room talk.
I mean, we're in the locker room. This is what we call our recording studios, the locker room. On the
well, yeah, don't look too far into that.
nice all right,
let's move on to the NFL. I mean, first of all, congratulations are in order. Mikey, two big things happened. You got Keenan Allen, first of all.
Wow. Yeah,
that's exciting.
Then he got fleeced.
Yeah,
he didn't sound like you're over the moon about it, but you got to be. I mean, he's a great player. He might be on the back end of his career, but
no. I mean, listen, the Bears had
gets
nothing.
Hurt so
the,
Bear, much.
The Bears had nothing at wide receiver after DJ Moore. I mean, especially after Darnell Mooney got picked up in free agency by Atlanta. Like they needed something. So that's a good piece. I don't think they're done. I think they could still go wide out in the draft at 9 if things fall the right way. They could go Malik Nabers. They go Roman Odunze.
Odunze would be great.
I everyone's high on this Nabers though. All the chatter this week is how these teams have Nabers, their number one wideout.
Dude,
he had
a couple
over
games.
Marvin Harrison, which to me
over
again,
but no, yeah. Nabers had a massive.
I understand that, but if I'm the GM and I look at them too, and it's not bias, I just think Marvin is a camp because of his size. I just think and Nabers isn't a small guy by any means, but he's not Marvin Harrison big. Like I don't know. I prefer a bigger target.
This is what infuriates me every time the college football season ends and we get close to the draft is these people, these guys have said for years, or at least a year, Trevor Lawrence is the best. Marvin Harrison Jr. is a can't miss. Then as soon as the season's done, all of a sudden we're starting like, well, actually this Nabers guy. Why are we changing our opinion?
Because Jay Daniels was just going to him all the time.
You're so far gone from the season, and now you got people saying that Caleb isn't the number one quarterback.
Right,
and
of course, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, what are we talking about? I mean, Caleb's been the consensus number one pick for 3 years in this class. Literally 3 years.
I do think whoever gets Penix or Jane Daniels is going to get a nice value play.
Penix, they're not even talking about Michael Penix
anymore. I don't understand how.
It's insane.
I don't understand how that's
possible. All you're hearing about is obviously Caleb, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, hot
Jake
item.
Jake May's going to be a boss.
And J.J. McCarthy. That is like one of the hottest
names.
I don't know
how J.J. McCarthy, yikes. How did he go over Bo? I don't understand.
Here's my thing about J.J. McCarthy. If you watch his big game tape, he makes some throws in the biggest moments of the biggest games where you're like, he has that certain factor that you can't quite quantify. And I respect the shit out of that, because he was a killer. Against Ohio State, he was a killer. He made plays in those games.
Yeah, but would you go Bo Nix or would you go J.J. McCarthy? Come on.
In the game against Alabama, they had to have that last drive. He did it for him. I respect that. My thing about J.J. is that I don't know how much tape on him you could really take in, because it felt like Harbaugh had him on a leash. He only let him throw X amount of times per game. It's not like he was letting this kid cut loose. So for me, is there enough tape on J.J. McCarthy to have seen all the different types of throws over and over and over again to really know what I'm getting if I'm going to take him that high? But make no mistake about it, Joe, he is the hot ticket item talked about right now. I mean, they're talking about Minnesota trying to use the two first-round picks, the second one they just acquired from Houston, to move up into the top 10 to draft him. So, I mean, the Giants just hosted him. The Giants hold the sixth overall pick. They just hosted him for a dinner out in New York. He was there for like a two nights or something like that. So he's a hot commodity. This
arm
guy.
Strength is not that great.
I don't disagree.
Relied on the run all year. He benefited from one of the best running games in all of college football.
To me, he is a massive, massive gamble. But could he just be one of those guys that just has that weird factor that,
like a Brady,
that you can't quite quantify? Again, you can't quite put your finger on what it is. It's just he's got it, and some of these other guys don't. Maybe that's the case. Personally, I think if you're going to draft a quarterback and you have a top five pick, you go with, you know, you just have to go with the consensus who's going to be. And that guy for the Bears anyway is Caleb, and you just have to live and die by it. If you swing on Caleb and he misses, I don't think anybody could really fault you for it, because every GM in the world is saying that he's the best one. So, you know, in that respect, I don't think you could miss on that.
You almost are obliged to take him because if you don't and he lives up to that expectation, you're going to be the laughing stock.
You're fired.
You're going to be the laughing stock of the league for years.
Yeah, I agree.
And especially when you're a team like the Bears that have struggled to find a franchise quarterback for a long, long, long time.
Forever.
You got to go with the obvious, the straight up obvious pick is Caleb Williams. But there's guys like Bo Nix and then Penix. And even Jaden Daniels. The fact that they're, like, you know, those three guys, I think that they have the arm strength, they have the mobility, they have the wherewithal. I don't know how McCarthy gets mentioned over any of those three, quite frankly. It's crazy to me.
Imagine Penix next year throwing a Metcalf. How exciting that would be.
Yeah. That would be a nice spot for him.
Penix to Metcalf.
Yeah. Forget about the Twitter account. But yeah,
the Twitter account.
In reality, though, Seattle's a spot that I would think.
Want a quarterback?
Yeah, they need to come up with a contingency plan for Geno. In my opinion, I think they need to come up with some kind of plan without Drew Lock there anymore. And just, there has to be some kind of plan B behind Geno. And I think Penix, I mean, especially the fact that, again, I haven't even seen his name being mentioned anymore as being, and meanwhile, had he not had the game he had against Michigan in the national title game, had he come out and lit that game up, he would 100% be talked about as, so what are you going to hang one bad game? Number one, he was clearly hurt. He was hobbling that game. He was not right. Number two, Michigan was the best team. Michigan was dominating that football game from start to finish with their offense, their line play on both sides. Like, it's such a hot and cold kind of a take with Penix for me. Because he was so great for the last 2 years, and now you're not hearing anything about him. I almost
going
like,
back to Seattle though. You don't think Sam Howell's going to challenge Geno for the top spot, do you?
Yeah, I guess Sam Howell's a decent contingency plan behind Geno. He is.
He looked solid to start the year off.
I thought so too.
Yeah, he had
such a bad
line
that it's like, you know, the guy was running for his life as a rookie.
Yeah, no,
I mean, that's not a good position.
I honestly forgot about Sam Howell.
Sam Howell went to the Seahawks.
Yeah, maybe then that's going to be the pass on a quarterback then. So,
yeah, well, we've got several other quarterbacks on the move. Two big names heading to Pittsburgh. Russell Wilson playing for almost nothing. And then Justin Fields, who they got for almost nothing.
Steelers are the big winners, man.
I think they are too. I mean, I don't think Russell's going to play the whole season. I think he's going to get hurt, or he's going to look atrocious to the certain point where they're going to bring Fields in. But I think second week of the year with Bandits.
I hope it's the second week of the year, because the Bears, that sixth round pick would turn into a fourth round pick if he plays 51% of the snaps. So that's big.
Even fourth round for a potential franchise quarterback is pennies on the dollar. Listen, I mean, that's
the bottom line is this: the league told you what they thought of Justin Fields. That's the bottom line. And the Bears could say however much they want that they turned down better offers because they wanted him to be in a situation he wanted to be in. Apparently, him and Mike Tomlin have a good relationship. He wanted to play for Mike Tomlin. It was a good spot for Justin. So maybe they did turn down a fifth rounder in 2025 for Fields. But I'm telling you this, they didn't turn down a second rounder this year or a third rounder this year. It wasn't something like
that. He would have been gone.
They would have pulled the trigger on that because business is business at the end of the day. The market for Fields was just not there. And it was there even less. There was even less of a market than I expected. I thought for sure they would get a low end second, maybe a high end third for him. The fact that they couldn't even get that, like, but I can't blame the other GMs in the league, because if you look at Justin Fields' tape as a quarterback throwing the ball, it's not good. It's just not good. There's no consistency. He has a game where he'll throw four touchdowns, 300 yards, but the majority is 150 yards, 160 yards, a couple turnovers sprinkled in, maybe one touchdown pass. He's a legs-driven quarterback. Maybe that'll change. But his processing needs to get faster, and he has to get rid of the ball. He's got to get rid of the ball quicker. He holds the ball too long. If he could somehow overcome those really bad habits that he's gotten into, then perhaps he will do good in Pittsburgh. Now, maybe Pittsburgh, he turns it around. I don't know. I'm rooting for him too, because I love the guy. But
I think he's going to. Well, I think he's going to sit behind Russell for the first time. He's going to have an opportunity to study the game, really get some experience, not be pressured to go out and be the guy right out of the gate. And I think, like, maybe after 1 year, maybe two, Russell's gone, and they're just going to hand him that starting position. And you've seen, like, quarterbacks who have an opportunity to sit in the trenches and just be able to observe and, like, hone in on their craft have, for the most part, been quite successful. I mean, the Packers have made a living off of doing that. So I'm not saying that he's going to turn overnight, but I think when you're playing with a guy who, whether or not he still has it, Russell is he's a very accomplished quarterback. He's won a Super Bowl. He's been multiple times. Quite frankly, he should have won two Super Bowls. Mean, all intents and purposes. But I think when you have a guy like that, it's going to be a real mentor to Justin Fields. And listen, the raw talent is there. Like, he's, from an athletic standpoint, one of the most gifted quarterbacks that I've seen in many years. Like, his ability to make plays and extend plays and make things happen, it's awesome to watch. He just needs to learn and really develop and mature as a quarterback, and I think he's going to get an opportunity to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's in a much different position. He gets to sit behind Russell, and Russell seems excited to have him there. I'm sure he's going to learn from him, like you just mentioned. The coaching staff is obviously better to help mentor him and help him progress and get better. And it's going to be a better offensive line, for sure, than at least the one he had last year. I know that the Bears are working on to making it better for this coming year, but I think it's one of the best situations he could have landed in, I think.
That's another thing. Like, yeah, and you say that, Tick, and it's funny because all of Bears fans and Bears Twitter and Bears beat writers, and there's this sentiment going around that the Bears did Fields so dirty, and that the Bears, look at what the Bears have done, ready making this team for Caleb Williams now to step into one of the best situations, do not get it twisted. Caleb Williams is walking into one of the best situations a rookie quarterback could ever walk into. There's going to be no excuses, but it's not like this happened overnight. Let's not get it twisted. When Ryan Pace drafted Justin Fields, it was a disservice to Justin Fields. It was a last gasp attempt by a lame duck GM and head coach in Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace to try and grab a guy to save their jobs. That's what that was. They restructured all these contracts of big name guys. The next year when they got fired, the whole team had to get ripped down. The whole team had to get torn down. Poles had to come in, tear down the whole team, and build it back up. And what has he done in two off seasons? This guy has transformed this roster into a 7-win football team, probably should have been a 10-win football team. And now he's rolling in and possibly grabbing the best prospect in the last however many years at the quarterback position.
He's done a very good job.
I'm not buying the Bears did Justin so dirty. If Justin had shown the ability to operate a pocket with consistency, he would still be a Chicago Bear, and the Bears would have traded that number one overall pick for a historic haul. The problem is, like every other team in the league, they simply don't see the value in Fields, especially that if he does ball out, you're going to have to then pay him rather than resetting the rookie contract, quarterback contract timeline. It's just, I don't want to hear the narrative of the Bears did Justin so dirty and the Bears built a super team now for Caleb. That's nonsense. They've been in.
I definitely think, and I agree with you, that they experienced every opportunity for him to succeed and gave him every chance. And ultimately, I mean, they obviously, they look at it and they're like, listen, based on what we've seen, we have to go with Caleb. I think if Caleb wasn't there and they don't have a top end, one QB, then maybe they do keep him longer. But I do think they definitely gave him the benefit of the doubt. They didn't get rid of him on the first chance.
Right.
And when he was healthy again, they didn't, you know, they let him come back instead of the sensation that was Tyson Badgett.
Oh, Badgett.
love. Was it Tyler or Is it Tyson? Yeah, Tyson. Tyson. Yeah. I love Badger. Great guy.
The Division II phenom.
Sure.
Are you not worried a little bit about the ego of Caleb Williams, though? Because on a personality level, he seems like a fucking dickhead.
Who's at the players?
I am as concerned about Caleb Williams as you could possibly be. But I'm in a position where, you know, it's just that's what it's going to be. And if it doesn't work out, I'm just going to throw my hands up in the sky and say that this team is just destined to never have a quarterback because they've traded for them. They've drafted them. They've done everything you possibly could to try and answer the question, and they get it wrong every single time. If they get it wrong again with Caleb, a guy who's been touted as a possible generational talent, a slam dunk, can't miss number one overall pick for the last 3 years coming into this class, Tick, I'm as concerned about him and all the bullshit off the field as anybody is. Trust me, I am. I'm just hoping that the guy could win football games. I'm hoping
he can come in and win football games. You guys got Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, DeAndre Swift. If you get a top tier wide receiver in the first and with your the ninth pick, either Neighbors or Dunes,
they'd be loaded. Yeah.
One of the best receiving corps in the NFL.
If they add a Dunze, Neighbors or Marvin Harrison, it is the
best. Well, I don't think they'll get Harrison at nine.
Even if they don't, it's the best. If they get Odunze or Neighbors, it's the best receiving core in the NFL, in my opinion. I don't see.
Well, maybe not better than the Dolphins with Tyreek and Waddle.
I think it's better three deep. I think DJ Moore, Keenan, and either one of those rookies. I think as a core.
Oh, sorry, maybe the Bengals too is pretty.
If Higgins stays, if they don't actually trade him, and I don't know what's going on with Tyler Boyd. He's a free agent. Nobody's gotten him. I don't know why. Yeah. I think he'd be a great wide receiver three. I think
I'd love the Packers to grab him.
Sure. I would love the Bears to get him. I think he would be great, but that is what it is.
Is what it is. Moving on, friend of the program, Kenny Pickett to the Eagles, leaving Pittsburgh, heading to Philadelphia. I love it. I love the guy. I messaged him when it happened. I was thrilled.
Yeah.
And I mean, because just like
he might play some games.
I was going to say he might play this year. We might need him.
He'll play. He's definitely going to play at some point because the way Jalen plays, eventually Jalen will get banged up one game or, he'll miss a half or he'll miss a game or something. Just his style of play is just conducive to that. So, I mean, you're going to see Kenny Pickett at some point. I would think. I'd be surprised if you didn't.
I would feel like he would have an opportunity to succeed with a really good offensive line and with all the weapons they have and then Saquon there. Like, I mean, you have arguably a top 5 to 7 wide receiver with AJ Brown. And then you look on the other side, you get the Slim Reaper and then you got Goddard. I mean, dude, he's going to have weapons like he never had in Pittsburgh. Saquon. And I know Deontay Johnson, Saquon catching out of the backfield. I understand that, you know, Pickens is great, but like, he was kind of on and off. Like, there were some games he was nowhere to be seen. Like, I think he's going to such a better atmosphere. And another guy I think is going to really benefit from being able just to not have all the weight of the world on his shoulders. Some of these franchises, like Pittsburgh, for example, the expectations from the fans are so high. To come in as a rookie quarterback and, like, you know, you're really, like, not exactly, like, a top-tier contending team to be successful, it's like, it's very, very, it's a lot of pressure, man.
Kenny was behind the eight ball for two reasons in Pittsburgh. Number one, he's replacing Ben Roethlisberger. Replacing a Hall of Fame quarterback is never an easy task. Number two, that year, if you remember that draft, it was a horrific draft for quarterbacks. He was the first quarterback off the board. So that's two things.
Was he the number one?
That's how bad that draft was. Yeah.
Oh my.
Yeah. And that's not a knock on Kenny. I'm just saying, like, he didn't get drafted until Pittsburgh was picking in the 20s, I think. So it wasn't one of these drafts where, like, that doesn't happen anymore, where a quarterback doesn't go in the top five, top 10. So he was the first quarterback off the board, expected to replace a Hall of Fame quarterback. Like, that's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of pressure. The expectations were probably way higher than they should have been. Honestly, on top of that I didn't even talk about, that was the biggest reason, maybe, guy played at the University of Pittsburgh.
Yeah, he went so from Pitt to,
local guy. I mean, that's a lot. You're the local guy. You're replacing a legend. You're the first quarterback off the board. I mean, you don't get any bigger of a pressure cooker than that. That's as big as it gets.
He's so young, too. He's going to have plenty of opportunities to develop and see, you know, a starting role at some point. Obviously, Hurts is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, so probably not anytime in the immediate future.
Well, Ticket, I was going to say, Ticket, don't agree with that.
I understand that, but I'm saying, just if you look, you know, you pass the eyeball test.
You see Dak's brother throwing shade at fucking Jalen Hurts today? Did you see that?
No.
What he said. First of all, I never even heard of Dak Prescott's brother until today, but now it's, of course, it's all over the internet. You want to know
the fact that we don't even know his name is a problem.
You want to know his name? Might as well be he's a problem. Because can we just do his name is Tad Prescott. T-A-D. T-A-D Prescott.
He's a tad bit of a problem.
The tad awful name. Anyway, they interviewed him and they asked him who the top 10 quarterbacks were in the league. Of course, he named his brother. He named Burrow. He named Mahomes, Allen, yada, 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 Aaron Rodgers. And then they're like, what about Jalen Hurts? He goes, you said quarterback, not running back. Like, Tad Prescott, please. Your name is Tad Prescott. Like, just stop. Just don't do that. Just don't.
Well, he better not have said Lamar then either.
I'm pretty sure he said Lamar.
This fucking guy. I mean, I talk a lot of shit about Jalen Hurts, especially when he played last year, but he's more of a quarterback than Lamar Jackson.
He put Joe Flacco up there. Like, it was ridiculous. This is what I mean.
He's trolling.
Like, yeah, right. But I mean, like, they made such a big deal out of it. But anyway.
Sure.
Is he a prospect? I just think he's a guy. If you're just a guy and if your name's Tad, shut your mouth.
Shut your mouth.
I sound stupid? You're interviewing for a role that requires you to clean toilets and you're dressed in tuxedos.
I like the tuxedos. They're ironic. Funny.
I get it.
All right, on second thought, tuxedos are a little bit fucked up.
Onions and ketchup.
Is that onions? A lot of other guys on the move. Kirk Cousins, we spoke about last week a little bit, to the Falcons.
This guy gets the bag, man. Yeah. Every time
He's the GOAT.
Achilles tear. Oh, just sign him to $180 million 4-year deal.
Kirk has got God on his side, man, and you can't fuck with that. You just can't. He's a man of the Lord, and you know what? He's raking in the cash.
$180 million
guys,
4 years. I don't even know how much is guaranteed. I mean, bro, he has been paid out every step of the way.
They said by 2027, he'll have earned $412 million.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No.
This guy's got the greatest agent on the planet.
Bro, not only that, he's got luck on his side. RG3 was like the next prodigy, and he went down, and Cousins just stepped into the fucking role.
Let me say this about Cousin Kirk. Because I give Cousin Kirk a lot of heat. I do, and I have historically. I've given Kirk Cousins a lot of heat.
He just doesn't step up to the big game, dude.
That is the knock on him, and I do understand. But, you know, you can't deny how he is, you know, throughout. He's a consistent quarterback. He's very consistent. He is.
You like that?
Now, I think in Atlanta, he could really, with the offense that they have there, if they get it right with the coaching staff, I think he could be a serious problem. I do.
You think so?
That division is dog shit, man. I'm not buying that division at all. So
you're not buying Baker and the Bucks?
No, Joe, you know I'm not. No, I'm not.
I mean, if the Saints could get a competent quarterback, that's a team that could do some damage.
We know you hate Derek Carr. We know you hate the Saints.
Well, they just signed who? Who did they? Did they sign Chase Young? Right?
Yeah, he's got to get a procedure for his neck. He's going to be out until the regular season starts. He's going to miss like camp and shit.
Wonderful. And not to mention, last year it looked like he was just standing up anyway. So I'm not sure how much of a win that is.
Did you see?
The last game he looked unbelievable.
Sure, you're right. The last game.
You want to talk about a theft? Did you see what the fucking Browns gave Jerry Jeudy today?
Oh no.
A 3-year extension, $41 million guaranteed. Guy hasn't done anything. He's never done anything. Nothing.
Well, watch him have the year of years.
Oh God.
Amari Cooper looked pretty fucking good this last year with the Browns too. And he was really nowhere to be seen.
Jerry
Jeudy
last year was a fucking head case. Guy was nuts.
Yeah, he was. Remember when he came in the league, his whole thing was like this. You've never seen footwork until you've seen Jerry Jeudy run a route.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, how about he catches the ball too?
That would be nice. That would be a bonus. Yeah. They're going to be fascinating. They're going to be fascinating to watch this year.
Whoa.
I saw a big old nut. Big old nut. Got them big balls, Joey. Hey, by the way, happy St. Joseph's Day, Joe, by the way.
Oh, well, Michael, you're the only person to wish me that aside from my father.
I put up a dedicated post for you on Instagram, a story.
Did you?
Wishing you a happy
St. Joseph's Day. I haven't seen
it's
it
an
yet.
AI, it's you as an AI leprechaun. But that's
by the way, bang job, we're not even going to get into that.
That wasn't on me this time. I can't be blamed.
Bone fucked me, man.
It's doing something to your face that is.
I look like they're bizarre. Calling me Ozempic Cutsy. You know why?
He's on Joe Zempic.
The photo that's that is awesome. Being used for that, I look like a dopey fuck. We need a new photo. And that's just,
now the photos you saw me submit after we recorded were great. They were great.
I don't know why we changed that.
I don't know either.
Just a few other small moves. Mac Jones to the Jaguars. Raider to the Cardinals. Hal to the Seahawks, as we mentioned earlier. Drew Lock to the Giants. Minshew to the Raiders. Mayfield stays with the Bucks. And Darnold, a friend of ours, to the Vikings.
Yeah, Vikings are going to draft a quarterback. So, I mean,
I think
they're going to try. I mean, I don't know. The run of quarterbacks could happen very, very quickly. You could have Bears go Caleb at one. You could have Washington go, Daniels or Drake May at two. You could have the Patriots go Drake May or the leftover at three. You could talk about three quarterbacks off the board quick. And then the Vikings have two first rounders to play with now because they got the one from Houston. So they could be looking to go up and taking again. The name that keeps coming up with them is JJ McCarthy as well. So it's like, I don't know. It'll be interesting.
Why would a team like that try to get like a Marvin Harrison? I guess they got Justin Jefferson and Addison.
They don't need another one.
But if you're a team that has two picks, like high end, like, you know, you still got unbelievable quarterbacks that are going to go towards the middle of the first round, you know, like I think Bo Nix is going to be great in the NFL. So like, why not take a chance on an elite wide receiver? Vikings don't need a wide receiver.
If the Giants rumors that the Giants are absolutely going quarterback at six, which is the rumor, or that they'll try and move up maybe even a little more depending on how things fall. If that's the case, then the Vikings have to make a move drastic enough to jump the Giants. And that's where it gets interesting because to move into the top five from wherever they are, I think they're in the teens. That's going to cost a lot. Even though you have two first rounders, they're bottom end first rounders. That's going to cost more than just those two picks. It's going to cost more than that to move into the top five of this draft. Once the quarterbacks,
the Giants cannot take Drake May, just on the principle, you can't go from a guy from Princeton or wherever he went, Duke. Danny Dimes, Duke. Yeah. And then to Duke. UNC. Why don't we go to a proven program?
Duke's biggest rival. Maybe they have a little locker room rivalry.
Why don't you find a guy from a real program? I mean, this is – these guys ain't it, man.
Hey,
I mean,
they had like, Tommy DeVito.
Yeah. I mean
– Illinois.
Draft a real one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or go buy a real one. One or the other. I would be so furious as a Giants fan what they're doing. I mean, I would just
But the
be,
Giants, here's the situation. I don't think they've got any good pieces across the board on offense.
Their defense is loaded.
I understand that, but they just lost their all-star running back. They really have any wide receivers. They don't have like a top-tier tight end, because I'm sorry, I'm not looking at what's his name from the Raiders as
Waller.
A fucking...
Waller.
Oh, this guy's hurt every fucking game.
The Giants, they've made a couple moves with the O-line that I think are good. The quarterback is still a mystery how that's going to work out. Running back, I don't think they care. I think they'll roll with Singletary and just do it. But pass catchers, they are woefully behind on pass catchers.
They're
horrible. Bad, but their defense may be so good with Thibodeau and now with Brian Burns acquired.
They lost McKinney.
But they got Dexter Lawrence, who's like he had quietly the best year on D-line in the whole league, maybe. He was a fucking monster. So their defense is going to be better than fine.
Both New York teams have unreal defenses. Both New
York. Now the Jets got Mike Williams today, so that helps.
Did they get Mike Williams?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. They did. They did.
If Aaron Rodgers doesn't run for vice president, he's then done. That's a really done. Good offense. Is it done now?
Yeah, Robert Kennedy said he's not. He's not taking him. Yeah,
it's already over with.
So that's done. So you got, you know, the Jets offense. You got Brees Hall. You got Garrett Wilson. You got now Mike Williams. I mean, that's really something getting put together over there in New York too. I think they still need another wideout. I think they know that, but their O line now too. They got Tyron Smith to play left tackle. They took the other tackle. They got another tackle. In free agency. So that's going to be both the New York teams. It's going to be cool to see how they're going to approach the draft. It's going to be fun. This draft is going to be wild, wild.
Who was that wide receiver that they drafted last year from the Giants? Hilton? Oh, was it Jalen Hilton?
No, Jalen Hyatt.
Jalen Hyatt. Yeah.
Tennessee.
Right. What happened to him, man? I thought he was going to be great.
He's a seven route guy. I mean, he just runs fast as shit. I mean, that's fine. You just got to get the other pieces to compliment him and he'll be good, you know, but they need like one premier guy wide out. They need one premier guy, but tough to come by. They don't grow on trees. They need a quarterback.
And a running back.
They need a lot.
Running back, you could kind of almost like, you could kind of makeshift that in the NFL now. You could get a rookie fifth rounder. He could be awesome. You know what I mean? Like, that all goes as the offensive line goes, in my opinion. You know, of course, there's guys who are standout guys, like a Saquon or a CMC or a Derrick Henry or somebody. But, like, those guys are few and far between. I think it's more of, like, after you get through the top tier of guys, I think it's kind of like just these guys that just pop up. Like, who was the guy ticket from Houston 2 years ago? Wasn't that great this year?
Damon Pierce.
Like, you don't really hear much about a guy like that coming out. He wasn't some kind of like all world guy in college. And then, you know, he just gets in the right situation and plays well. So I think they'll be all right. But, you know, the draft, I think, is going to be so fascinating this year.
How about a guy like D'Andre Swift?
Yeah, I love him.
Yeah, I know. I would too. All right, let's move on to some golf. The Players, Joe and I were there on
It's awesome.
Thursday, day one. Watched a little bit there, but it ended up being wildly exciting coming down to the last round on Sunday. It was Wyndham. It was Scotty, of course, who ended up winning. Brian Harman was there. Xander, of course. Brian Harman, the guy that Joe cannot stand. I get it. It's infuriating to watch.
He's a lefty, too. You think I'd like him.
Yeah, fair enough. But he stands over the ball for half
the waggling shit, all the ticks that he's got.
And then a heartbreaking, you know, last putt from Wyndham that lipped out like crazy. Joe went nuts. And Scotty wins again. First guy to ever back-to-back at the Players to defend the championship. What'd you guys think?
Scottie Scheffler is the best golfer in the world, man.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't even think it's particularly close. I see. It's a funny thing. We were talking. I was talking with Bob. This was on the Friday or the Saturday. And Scheffler was quite a ways back. I said, Scheffler is so crazy. He will find his way to come back and be like a top five, top, maybe even top three, like player in the field. For him to shoot 8 under on the Sunday is just, and if you think the first few holes, he parred and he had to make a move. He eagled from like 93 yards out. He had an incredible shot that had a side spin.
That was wild.
That I've never seen. I don't know how you put side spin on the ball. And it just perfectly rolled in. And all of a sudden he was like 2 under. And then it was just like, boom, 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 boom. And I was like, oh my God, here he comes. The guy doesn't feel pressure. It's like when he's in that position, he is in the driver's seat and everybody else is watching him to the point where you haven't seen anybody like that for some time that's dominated, you know, to that extent. It's pretty wild, man. It's pretty wild to watch. You could not find a classier guy as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, he's good.
Just a role model, just a through and through a guy you want to root for. And man, I was reading a thing, Mikey. He has won in 2.5 weeks because he won the last tournament, Arnold Palmer, and then at the Bay Hill Invitational, and then he just won the Players. He, in 2.5 weeks, he
has made
$8.5 million, which is equated to over $1.07 million per round, which is the equivalent of $15,700 a swing.
Yeah, yeah, that's nice. That's nice money.
That's a pretty nice piece. But I mean, it's just unbelievable. And I will say this, that like for all the talk about PGA, you know, with LIV being there, it's falling, they're losing players. This was as exciting a finish as I've seen in a long time. And it went literally down to the last putt, which should have forced a playoff. I thought it was a tremendous, tremendous watch late Sunday afternoon. I thought it was so much fun to see these guys going neck and neck. Scheffler, 8 under, Schauffele and Wyndham back and forth. And then Harmon was sneaky in there too. What a hell of a 50-year celebration for the Players. I thought it was unbelievable. And if you're the PGA, that's their signature tournament. That's theirs. They had to be over the moon with how it turned out.
Mikey, any thoughts? Yeah,
I think Wyndham to me has looked so good over the past two tournaments. He's playing some lights out golf, and for him not to win that, and forget the lip out. I mean, the lip out is what it is. Like, yeah,
it was halfway down the hole.
Insane. But just, yeah. I think what Joe said, his first statement sums up the entire conversation. Just Scottie Scheffler is just the best player in the world. And I don't think it's particularly close either. And I think he may win the fucking Masters. And I mean,
he's 5-1 favorites. Yeah. And he's putting. His knock has always been his putting because he's the best ball striker in all of golf. And now he's got this new putter and he's making everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I'm talking about. I mean, like if he's going to putt the way he's been putting, like, I just don't see how he's going to lose more often than he wins. Obviously it's golf, so you're not going to win every tournament. I understand that. But in terms of like chalky picks, top five, top 10, you know, I just think he's going to do that more often than not. And
he's not even plus money on the top 10 finish anymore.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that's how it's unbelievable.
I know.
It's so guaranteed,
which is sickening. But yeah, I think, you know, awesome tournament. Obviously, like Joe said, Sunday was incredible down the stretch. I mean, so tight at the top. These guys were playing, and you know, you had a guy like Matsuyama, who I picked and gave out as my winner for the tournament, who I thought played great, but just could not keep up with these guys at the top, like Xander and Scotty and Wyndham. They were just like, it was just like an assassination with these guys. Like, it was like shot for shot. But when
there
Scotty
eagles,
when Scotty hit that everywhere. When Scotty hold that eagle, it was like, okay, like,
yeah, like that was nasty okay. too. The, it okay. just took a left turn. It
just
that
absurd. Was, just absurd. Just absurd. And you know, I also just that we're speaking on golf. I did see the Jon Rahm menu for the Masters, and it looks pretty good. That's right.
Really? What has he got going
on? It's all Spanish fare. And I love Spanish food. So it's like, it is.
He got paella in there?
No, he doesn't. But like, it is authentic, like all Spanish food. And it looks fucking sick.
I think Matsuyama's was the best.
That looked cool too. Yeah.
He had Kobe. He had like Wagyu beef. And then he had everything, man. He had like, oh my God. He had like sable fish, like black cod and like, oh my God.
Dude. I would love to go to that dinner, man. That would be a great dinner to go to.
Whereas who was it who won before him had just a terrible meal. Was it?
I thought Scotty won it.
Wasn't it Scotty before Matsuyama?
Yeah, Scotty.
Yeah, I think it was Scotty was not.
Scotty had like a regular like American menu.
It was like American menu, yeah.
Yeah, but you know what?
I mean, he's say what you want about his golf. He is probably the best player. I mean, he is the best player in the world. That's obvious. Here's Matsuyama's. He's vanilla, man.
Oh, yeah. He's
vanilla guy.
Very much so. Very much so. But you know what? Hey, listen.
Listen to this. Listen to this meal from Matsuyama. In 2022, assorted sushi, sashimi, and nigiri, yakitori chicken skewers, then miso glazed black cod, Miyazaki wagyu, and then a fucking Japanese strawberry shortcake. I mean, oh my.
Wait till you see that ROM menu, though, when you take a look at it. Not now, but when you look at it, you're going to be like, holy shit, this is wild. Seems like there's a lot of items, too. Very, very, very heavy menu.
Really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, Rom could eat, man. Look at the fucking guy. You know that guy's putting him down.
He told us he wants to do a taco challenge.
He's a thick boy. He's a thick boy.
He did say
It's called a Spanish feast.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Here we go. Oh my.
Yeah. Dude, yeah. It's like there's like 20 courses. It's crazy. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
They got a birikos. That is the best ham in the world.
What is that?
It's a ham. It's a corn ham. It's a like corn-fed ham. It's like the Wagyu of ham. Sick.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
Holy shit, dude.
I knew he would go nuts over this. That's why I brought it up.
Bro, this is legit. Well,
Read it out.
Have EA throw the graphic of the menu up there.
Yeah, I mean, but there's too much stuff. Now, what I like is he gives a choice of for the main course.
Yeah.
He got either the either ribeye, or he's got a turbo. Turbo is one of the best fish. Tick, you ever had turbo?
I don't even know what this guy's ordering. I don't know what this is, man. It's just a type of fish?
Turbo is it's a sensational white fish. It's unbelievable.
Sensational white
fish. It's like if you see it on the menu, it's so high. It's a must price order. It's a must and order. So high end, it's unbelievable. Normally they fillet it right at the table.
That's the thing
for you.
That really amazes me about these Masters dinners. Is it just like you could just name whatever the fuck you want? Like you just name it and listen, Augusta's gonna give it to you. That's it.
There's that is no,
they have to.
That's incredible, man.
You're of the Masters.
But still you would think maybe they put a little limitation on it. Maybe say, listen, we can't bring
Michael, what's your Masters dinner if you got?
Oh, I don't know, man. I don't know. 24 karat gold wrapped prime wagyu, bone in tomahawk ribeye. I don't know.
Alaskan king crab covered in caviar.
Sure. There would be Alaskan the seafood tower at Augusta. If it was good at Ruth Chris, you could only imagine what it would look like at Augusta, Joe. Okay.
He wants to put mussels in Amen Corner and then chuck them right out of the fucking water.
Yeah.
Oh,
you can also go with the sensational whitefish, Mikey. That's also an option that you
turbo.
Can go with.
Turbo.
The turbo.
Turbo. Oh, turbo's great. It's a really bizarre looking fish, two tick, that if you saw it, you'd be like, this looks like it's terrible.
Okay.
But it's I'll show you. It almost looks like this is what the fish looks like.
Oh, okay. I've seen
it. It looks like it would be disgusting.
It looks like fluke. That's what it looks like. Looks like fluke.
You fillet
it. Certainly is not fluke.
Look at that one. It's unbelievable. It's so rich and it's just flaky. It's delicious.
Is that one of the fish that they like kind of keep intact and then just kind of sear it the way it is and then comes out?
You slice it table side. It's unbelievable, man.
Oh, wow. Okay. I mean, maybe one day. Maybe one day I'll get there.
Maybe a Carbone. Maybe they'll have turbo on the menu at Carbone.
They probably do. And if they do, you don't even want it won't even say the price. It'll say a little thing.
Market.
MP.
Market. Yeah, market price.
A little market price. Yeah. So you don't even know until you ask.
Yeah. Yeah. And they'll look at you. You really want to know?
it's to the point where if you go to a restaurant of that caliber and you ask what the market price is, they're like this guy doesn't belong here. Yeah. You know, if you're asking what the market price is,
yeah, don't
I
would
clearly
ask.
Don't
I
know
ask.
The market price.
I wouldn't ask.
So just keep it.
It's more fun, honestly, not to ask and just see what happens at the end.
Well, it's not fun if you're paying the bill.
Well, no, but I'm going to make Bob pay on Thursday. So there you go.
It could be a little credit card roulette play.
Oh, man.
Then you'll get a real bail job from me. Then I am not going. I'm not playing that game.
Credit card roulette makes for a great Instagram live.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. I tell you, if we do that,
I've been banged so many times.
100% am going to get stuck if we do that. 100%.
No, I lose every time, Mikey. We haven't done it in ages. I lose every single time.
All right.
You could get lucky. It could land on the jet.
Oh, you know, man, what you do, by the way? Yeah. If you ever have, here's a word of caution to anybody, any listener who's ever doing the, you know, credit card roulette, which, by the way, if you don't, I've never heard of it. It's essentially at the end of the meal, the bill's placed, everybody puts their card down, and then the waiter is supposed to, some waiters don't do this, and that's not okay. They're supposed to pick blindly a card, and then that card gets banked for the entirety of the purchase. So if you have a five or two, like we have a six person dinner coming out on Thursday. So you have one of six chances. You're either going to get everything or you're scot-free.
You're going to have to take a second loan out on your
what phone. You can't do. And I've learned this the wrong way. If you have a good card, like if you have like a card that's heavy or that feels good, the server, just by feeling it, they're like, I'm going to fuck this guy over because this guy clearly has a lot of money. So you put the shittiest card that you have.
I'm putting my fucking Costco card in there, dog.
Yeah, you put a card that's like ripped, broken, falling apart. And then if they pick you, then you switch to your nice card so you get the points. But at that point, it won't matter.
If this waiter feels five beautiful metal cards and one flimsy plastic one, mine, and she picks that one or he picks that one.
That's a dirty move, though, man. That's scumbag filthy. Move.
You can't
that's
do that. That's
a scumbag
now,
move.
Now, the American Express card I have is significantly, not right. that it's any better, but it's significantly heavier. And so they'll just pick that.
Yeah, like
and then you're
I would not put my Apple card in the mix because it's made of metal. Mm. So, like, there's no chance I would use that. Zero. Zero chance I would use that. I know I would get fucked.
Oh, you're going to get banned
if you do that. No, I'm telling you, I'm going to put my Costco card. Good luck. Good luck to all participants.
You just put a library card in there.
I'm like a Chili's credit card roulette guy.
There you
go. I'll take you to Chili's and we can play that. Yeah. I'll just pick it up myself.
Take your Carbone guy through and through.
You have my Bank of America card, ain't? All right, guys, let's move on. Let's do one more quick thing very quickly. Aaron Donald's retiring and then we'll move on to who's a problem. Thoughts on Aaron Donald hanging it up?
Yeah, all-time generational talent, Mount Rushmore defenders, in my opinion, up there with Lawrence Taylor, Reggie White.
Are you surprised he retired? Like that he didn't play another?
No, you know, a guy like that, man, you're in the trenches. It's not like you're playing off ball. You know, you're getting fucking hit every single play. You're getting fucking pounded. He's won his ring. He's won multiple all pros. He's won multiple defensive player of the year. You're talking about a guy who has nothing left to prove. It's Aaron Donald. So no issues with him walking away. You know, I'll always remember Aaron Donald as the guy that got picked right after the Bears picked in that draft. Bears could have had him and they needed him and they were one pick away and he wasn't there. And the rest is history. Great career. And again, in my opinion, a Mount Rushmore defender, just one of the most dominant, especially at a position that the position he played in the modern day NFL to be as dominant as he was. You don't think of the interior D tackles anymore in modern NFL. You don't. You think of the edge guys. Everybody wants the edge guy. This guy demanding triple teams, fucking triple teams with a chip. I mean, this guy was just as dominant as you could possibly be. And by all accounts, I mean, listen, yeah, I mean, I think he had a little mean streak in him, but I mean, you play like that, that's just comes with the territory, in my opinion. So just a freak, a total freak. And I'm sure the quarterbacks are relieved that he's done.
Oh, I'll never forget the first time I ever saw him was on Hard Knocks with the Rams, and Jeff Fisher was the coach. And they did a whole episode on this guy, and it was like, who the fuck is this guy? Like, he looked like he got the gap between his teeth. He kind of looked like a dorky guy, but he was just built like a shit brick house and was like, they were showing him in you know, in the fucking training camps, he was just outworking everybody. He was like, they're like, I was like, oh my God, this guy is a
problem. He's a unit, man. He's a unit. Holy, I mean, for him to play that position and look, and his body look the way it does, that's not normal. Like, that's not okay. Like, that's not, when you line up against a guy like that, as big as he is, like, he should not have a six pack of abs. Like, that's not normal, dude. Like, he is just a genetic freak of nature, and he played like it. He played like it.
And he was fast as lightning too.
Oh my God. So quick. His first step. Oh my God. Oh,
yeah.
Sickening.
Well, the Rams will definitely be worse without him, but definitely have to figure it out.
Definitely.
All right, guys, let's move on to who's a problem. Joey D, I'm going to start with you today. Who's a problem?
I got one today for you, Tick. Sure. Anthony Edwards. I know we don't talk a lot about the NBA, but I'm telling you right now, if there were more guys playing as hard as this guy's playing in the NBA, it would be instrumentally a better league. This guy is making highlight reel after highlight reel. Did you see the dunk?
Yeah, the dunk. The dunk.
I mean, insane. Oh my God! It looked like he just destroyed that. Then 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, to win the game, he had a block where he literally came flying across the court. I mean, this guy is playing unreal basketball. He's got the Timberwolves at first in the West. I mean, he was, by the way, sensational in Hustle, in that movie. You ever watch it with
Sandler?
Adam Sandler?
Yeah, yeah, it was good.
Oh,
was good.
The guy can do it all, man. He's unbelievable. And I just think it's like, just I know we shit on the NBA a lot, but this guy has been incredibly entertaining to watch. He has a huge night, it seems like, almost every single night. One of the top scoring talents in the NBA, but he can do it all. And he's pretty soft-spoken. He's not like some of these guys in the NBA who think their shit don't stink. Like, I got to give kudos where kudos are due, man. This guy is tearing up the league. He's unbelievable. The Timberwolves are first in the West, and he's a definite problem.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, dude, that movie, he's such a great actor in that movie.
He makes you want to hate him in that fucking movie.
But that was the whole point. He wasn't stiff at all. He played the part. Like, he was acting better than Adam Sandler and everyone else in that movie.
Yeah.
I thought he gave the best performance in that movie. I thought
it was good.
It was shocking. I'll go next, and then we can end with Mikey. This guy's been a bit of a problem for me specifically for a little bit now, because I just continue to bet on him, and he just continues to come in second instead of first. And I hate to say it because
he's
good friends with you guys, but it's Xander Schauffele, man. It's Xander Schauffele.
Guy's making bank, man. He's making a lot of money.
But he's losing me a bunch of money. I keep thinking this guy's finally gonna, like, this is gonna be it. And he still played really well on Sunday. He was leaving everything, all these putts short. He needed to birdie on 16 and 17, and he missed both of them barely by one or two rotations.
17 he barely missed.
He left it short again, man.
No, 17 it rolled by.
Was that the one that rolled by? Maybe I'm thinking of 16.
It rolled by on the left. Yeah, it didn't break in as much as
he
thought.
But, man, this guy's got to just break through and win something. It has been a long time. You're right, he's making a bunch of money. I'm sure his caddy loves it. I mean, they're making a ton, but it's like, he's got to get through, man. He's got to make a statement. And I can't keep betting on him, but you know what? I'll do it. I will do it again.
He's definitely good enough to win. I would take him top 10, Tick. Top 10 is a good bet for him, because he consistently has a great opening, like, couple days to where he kind of puts himself in position where he's top of the leaderboard or right in the mix. So I think a top 10 bet is probably a lot better than to win it overall. It's tough. A lot of these guys, like, look at Wyndham. Wyndham took, 4 years? He couldn't win a tournament.
Dude, winning
and
a winning
won,
tournament.
And it's just like, it takes like the monkey off your back. It's like, all of a sudden, it's like you're playing with house money.
It's tough to take a guy to win a tournament that hasn't won a tournament. Like even Rory, bro. Like he's always so high to, like, his odds just to win the tournament aren't the greatest odds, really. And it's just, he just never does.
Close at the PGA and then he just couldn't do it.
But that's what I'm saying, though. It's like, it's so hard, man.
It's a mindset. Crazy. Like, you look at a guy like Brooks Koepka, he just goes into it Like, he is going to win, and no one's going to beat him. And you almost have to have that mentality. Like, some of these guys, they're more, a little bit more timid, a little bit softer spoken. If you got to have that kind of, not that I know anything about having pizzazz on the golf course, because I don't have it. But I'm saying, I think, like, especially some of these majors, like, you're going up against the biggest field in golf. You almost have to go in there with a bit of a chip on your shoulder, like you're going to win. And you want somebody to convince you otherwise. And I think that that's the difference, man. I mean, I've never won anything, and let alone a tournament. So who knows? But
oh, that's not true. You won the life.
The Aloha.
You also won the Aloha.
I won the Aloha 1 year. Well, 2 years. That last one was special. I played my best round of golf ever in the final round. I felt like I just won the Masters. Oh, God, that was sensational. But, yeah, no, I agree, Tick. Yeah, he's...
That's the sickest thing I have ever heard, bro.
I did, like, a whole Instagram story. That is I went so off, dude.
Sick, bro.
I played at Banff National. Mikey, this course was one of the most picturesque, most beautiful. It looks beautiful. It was beautiful. In the Rockies in Canada.
Yeah, it looked very nice. And it was
just like... You know, when you play a course that's so beautiful and you're so used to just botching it that when you actually play, I shot 3 over par, is the best round I've ever had. I've never come close to shooting that again. And I was playing with Sticklers, my buddy Bears. He watched, he won't give any gimmies. Right. Now you have to putt everything out.
Right.
So it was like a true testament to like shooting 3 over. And that's, it was an unbelievable feeling. But going back to what you're saying, Tick, you're right. I mean, dude, you're right. Joffrey, he's got it finally. Put the nail on the head and finally win one of these.
You look like for a brief moment there, you were taken back to that moment at Banff, and you were so living special. It all over again.
Yeah, I did.
You're a mountain guy, Tick. You're a mountain guy. You would have loved it, Tick. You would have loved it.
I
would have. So
I remember when Grant was playing there at some point. So like, it's just, yeah, you're right. It's a beautiful course. I'd like to go there and film it one day.
We should.
I agree. I really think that would be a great trip. We got to get back to Canada at some point. But
they would gladly have us.
Yeah. Mikey, who was a problem this week?
I'm going to stick with the golf theme. I watched the new season of Full Swing. I finished it already on Netflix. And
wow.
This guy, man, this one guy, he had to be one of the most annoying guys that you talk about a guy with just an arrogant, just came off like a total jackass clown. Dustin Johnson's coach, his swing coach, or whoever the fuck he is, the guy was always wearing black. This guy was such a bozo, the way he was talking about Liv and the way he was talking about Dustin. It was the most weird. At one point, I was just like, they got to stop. They got to stop going back to this guy on his couch. Nobody cares.
I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, my. Joe, just wait till you watch it. And then let me know if you think. And Tick, do the same. If you watch it, let me know what you think. He came off as just so, like a little kid. It almost felt as though he was trying to justify, again, like, Liv's existence and his guy being in Liv and, like, he was talking like he was on the attack from somebody, but he wasn't. Like, it was a concept like he was on the defensive, but it didn't seem like nobody was coming at him. Nobody was coming at Dustin Johnson. So I don't know what that was all about, but man, it was uncomfortable. It was uncomfortable. He's a problem, that guy. I'd get a new swing. I would. Dustin hasn't won anything in a million years either. So fuck it.
True. Well, I mean, yeah. He's no one's watching whatever he's doing anymore.
That's correct.
No one watches it. All right, guys, let's move on to viewer questions. We'll knock out a few of these and then we'll call it a podcast. First question is for Mikey, actually. It's from Alex Friedlander. Will Mikey Mulligans ever tee it up again?
Wow. Oh, yeah, I'm playing next Friday.
There you go.
Because it feels the content hasn't been there in a while.
My first round next Friday. I mean, guys, I live in Jersey. It's been a nuclear winter all year. So
by the
way,
we're coming up in 2 days. Is it cold? Is it warm? What
it's cold.
Am I bringing the sweater?
You're looking at 40s.
40s?
You're looking at 40s, dog.
Oh, 40s. Dear heavens. I was like, I'll pack a 40s, sweater. I've got a pack. 50s,
let me look.
Oh, it's going to be even colder in Boston, too, Joe. You're going to definitely want some.
All right. So Thursday, high of 41.
Oh, my.
Friday, high of 46, and then rain the entire weekend after that.
Well, we leave on Saturday.
At least there's no rain, but dress warm.
40s.
Yeah,
it was like 85.
So that's why. Yeah, that's why I haven't, like, I mean, it's, there's nothing to do. I mean, next week, next Friday, I'm hoping we get out and there's no rain. So we'll see.
Yeah, fair enough. I actually got a quick question for you guys, just for me, because I'm a fan of you guys. Is I'm definitely going to watch a movie tonight. Is there anything good out there?
No.
You haven't seen anything recently?
There's a movie that I want to watch. It's on, you have Netflix?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it, but it's on my list to watch. It's about the Argentinian or Ecuadorian, like, soccer team. They take a flight through the Andes and the plane crashes.
Yeah,
and
it
looks tremendous. It looks like a real thriller. Like, it looks, the just watch the trailer tick.
Okay.
It looked, I saw the trailer and I was like, I gotta watch that. I have not watched it, but it is on my list of movies to watch. I have got.
Is it a documentary or is it a movie?
No, it's a movie. It's an actual movie.
I've been watching, like, some good shows, but I don't know about movies. I don't know. I watch all old movies. Like, I don't know. Like, new stuff, I haven't seen anything good new. But
I haven't seen the Flower Moon Dune thing.
Oh, yeah. Dune 2. I mean, if you go to.
I haven't watched Dune 1 yet.
Oh, Dune 1 is sick. Dune is sick.
Is it really sci-fi, though?
Yeah, I mean, to a degree, but not like stupid. Listen, Dune is great, and I heard Dune 2 is even better. So I haven't.
Yeah, my brother said it was exceptional.
But Dune 2 is supposed to be, like, incredible. So
I got to go to the movie theaters because I remember the first one just showed up on Max.
No, the first one you can watch.
The second one's in theaters still. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Fair enough. All right. Next question comes from Kyle Schaefer. Favorite free agency move for any team so far?
Good question. Atlanta with Kirk Cousins. I think that is the move for Atlanta. Atlanta has pieces on offense. They you know, you got to tip your cap when a team drafts a guy and quickly realizes, oh shit, and just pulls the plug and rips the band-aid off and doesn't fuck around with it. And I respect that. And Desmond Ridder had to go. And bringing in a guy like Cousins gives them automatic credibility in the division, in a weak division. I think it's a good move. It's a move that should put them in the playoffs this year right away. It's not like it's going to be a wait-and-see game with him. If he stays healthy and he could play with Pitts and with Drake London and with Bijan Robinson and whoever else they're going to add, when they may add them, and now Darnell Mooney. I mean, they'll be fine. Atlanta's going to be a pretty good team in the NFC, especially the NFC, considering it's the weaker conference. I think they're going to be good. So for me, it's Kirk to Atlanta.
Joseph?
I'm going to go with a move that I thought was huge, and I don't think it got nearly the amount of coverage that it should have. Derrick Henry to the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, I just think this guy still has some wear, and like, he's still got some tread on those tires. And I just think that, like, putting him as the lead back on that team, it opens up so much for Lamar now and the passing game. If Mark Andrews gets healthy and gets back, they got pieces there. I love everything about it. I think they're a running team. They're the best running team in the league this year. And now you add Derrick Henry. I think he's just going to plow, especially if you get close to the goal line. Yeah. You could give the ball to Derrick Henry on the 1 yard line. You could have Lamar roll out. They are going to be able to do so much with that guy there. As long as he stays healthy. Now, Mikey, you mentioned that the Baltimore Ravens have had a history of running backs going down.
Yeah, it's not even that for me, though. It's like, for me, the move is okay. I don't see the real excitement in it, only because, like, Baltimore could always run the ball. They could always run.
Now,
like,
they got an absolute bruiser, man. It's not a sexy style of winning games, but I think they've got a great defense. I think they can dominate time of possession.
I think pass catchers, bro. I think they need more pass catchers. That's what I mean, to me.
Well, Baltimore, maybe they go and get somebody in the draft. I mean, listen, there's a lot of good pass catchers.
No,
I just
for
think
sure,
it sets
sure.
them up in such a good spot. I think Mark Andrews is going to come back and be what he was. They really missed him when they needed him. And I know he came back for the playoffs, but he was, for all intents and purposes, a decoy. I agree. If they get a good pass catcher to go along with Zay Flowers, looked unbelievable. I really do think that it just opens up the play action pass. It opens up so much for Lamar. I think they're already one of the top teams in the AFC. I think it's a huge move. I really do. I think Henry's going to have another big year for them, man.
I agree. All right, I'll stay with the running back, but with a different team.
Saquon.
Sure, Saquon's a good one, but not who I'm going with. I really, really think that Josh Jacobs to the Packers is a big old move. I think you guys are positioning yourselves.
But Aaron Jones was really dominant. Good too, Tick.
Yeah, but this guy's going to be more reliable. I mean, he wasn't – he hadn't been – you guys were using A.J. Dillon, Aaron –
Well, they re-signed Dillon now.
Yeah, but you're not going to need to use him the way you've been using him the last couple of years. I mean, I think you're just giving Jordan Love more pieces. I think you're going to get a wide receiver or somebody in the
draft. I'd love him to get Higgins. I'd love him to go out and make a play and get a guy like – I mean, imagine Higgins with Jordan Love, and then you got Watson and Dubs and all these other guys, and then you got Jacobs. I mean – that would be pretty fucking special. I agree, though. Jacobs is an all-around back and tick for fantasy. I think he could have a huge year for the Packers.
Good, too. I mean, you guys have got to be the favorite in that division right now.
Well, those Bears with Caleb Williams.
No, Detroit. Sure. Detroit's still the favorite.
I like the Packers a lot. But, yeah, you're probably right. It probably is Detroit.
It's going to be a much better division this year.
Yeah, division's going to be tough this year.
Yep. One more, last one comes from Jack Molichak, most famous athlete / person, celebrity from your hometown or your area where you grew up.
Oh, easy. Burnaby Joe Sakic, man. Fucking absolute legend. Sure.
Even I know Joe Sakic.
I mean, yeah, that guy was just, he was monumental. They have about 5 minutes from my house, there's where Burnaby Minor was, they have a street named after him. It's Joe Sakic Way.
Really?
It's right where he grew up. He grew up playing Burnaby Minor Hockey Association. Yeah, Joe Sakic. I mean, that guy is unbelievable.
Yeah, he was.
Mikey? Was.
Right.
The Diesel, Shaq, Newark, New Jersey, man.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yep. The Diesel.
Can we get the picture of Mikey V with Shaq? Can we get it to Mr. Anderson?
Dude,
goes to show my whole life, dog.
Yeah, in my whole life, I was going to say, like, my whole life, I've only felt, like, small, like, maybe, like, two or three times in my entire existence on this planet. Two or three times. Shaq was definitely one of those times. That's He's just a fucking nuts. Massive, massive human being. Massive.
Were you a big Shaq guy? Like, were you a big Lakers guy?
I was a big Shaq on the fucking Orlando Magic guy when he was like, I
breaking
love Shaq
fucking backboards.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, like, I loved Shaq. I mean, I loved Shaq when he was with the Lakers too. Like, I was always like, I was just in awe of Shaq. I don't think there's anybody of my age bracket who grew up watching Shaq who wasn't like, Shaq was just so different. Like, Shaq was just different. Like, I had never seen anything like that. I mean, you saw big centers in the NBA and guys who could twinkle toe a little bit and, you know, like Hakeem and the hook shots and all this, but you never saw a dog like that who was that big and just that athletic. I mean, he was a legitimate.
Coming out of LSU, he was a beast.
When he could move and he was a little bit on the lighter side, he was a fucking nightmare.
I mean,
he was
nightmare. I think arguably he was his best when he was with the Lakers. No one could stop him.
He was a
truck.
I mean,
a fucking truck.
Him and Kobe were just, it's as good as
you had to guard Kobe, and then Kobe would just lay up an alley.
As good as it gets.
Man. Yeah. And now he's as good as it gets on the broadcast. He's still one of my favorite people.
Yeah, he's great. I
love
he's
Shaq.
So funny. He's so funny.
He's still doing like the General commercials.
Oh, the General.
His shoes at Walmart.
He's selling Epson printers, by the way. I just got one from him 2 days ago.
What about Icy Hot?
Good enough for Shaq.
Icy Hot. Icy Hot. Yep. Icy Hot. He like dunks in like the fucking backboard breaks out of ice, and then he dunks and it's like an inferno coming out.
Shaq just keeps those checks coming in, dog. He just keeps those checks coming in. I'm not hating him for that. Good for him.
Good for him. Yeah, good for him.
Yeah,
indeed.
Good for him. I don't know if there's any athletes that are from where I'm from. I don't know if there's any celebrities from where there's a lot of people near me. I guess
was it athlete me. Or celebrity?
Is it any person?
Oh, where would you classify? Because you grew up in Jersey.
Celebrity, dog. You got Sinatra. You got Springsteen. I mean, it's on.
Well, am I just picking all of New? Well, I'm really from Bucks County, Pennsylvania, which is. I mean, I guess Bradley Cooper's from not far away. That's a big one. He's a good one.
Bradley. Yeah.
I do love him. It just like feels weird to say he's exactly from where I'm from, but close enough.
Yeah.
All right, guys, another fun one. Went long on this one, like about an hour and a half. Good time, though. I mean, things are ramping up here with March Madness. Finally, something interesting, you know, other than free agency and NFL for us to kind of sink our teeth into. But that's another episode of The Sportsman. As always, that's Mikey. That's Joseph. I'm Neil. And we will see you guys next week.